you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics. It's Air Talk and time for TV Talk, which we bring you every Thursday. Joining me are critics Kristen Baldwin of Entertainment Weekly and Angie Hahn of The Hollywood Reporter. We begin with X-Men, the new Disney Plus animated series X-Men 97. Angie, what do you think of it?
Oh my gosh. So I'm exactly the right age where when I hear that theme song, I just immediately get giddy. So I was probably in some ways already primed to like this show because it's a X-Men 97 is a continuation of X-Men, the animated series, which ran on Fox in the 90s, which is when I was a kid. But, you know, as we've seen with a lot of like reboots and arrivals and sequels, just because it's something that you used to like that's come back doesn't be successful in the new version. And I'm really happy to say that this one actually does. Let me reassure you, you do not need to remember plot points from 30 years ago to understand this one. It does kind of pick up where that story left off, but it's enough has kind of shifted, I guess, in the interim that it feels like you're starting a new story and not just being dropped into the middle of one that's been going on. Making a superhero series that feels fresh in 2024 seems like it's probably really hard to do considering how many superhero shows and movies we've had since the original went off air. Like, I think an X-Men series alone, but this one I read them, it feels so retro, it kind of comes back to feeling new and exciting and fresh again. Like, it's a little bit more polished than the old one was. It comes back to that same visual style, which in this day and age makes it stand out. It actually managed to avoid the trap that so many of these reboot sequel type shows fall into of getting too nostalgic or like too self-referential or like too self-conscious about like, hey, remember this. Instead, it just kind of gets on with it. Like, it's, you know, it's got the big superhero action. It's got lots of, you know, the usual X-Men metaphors about socially oppressed classes and saving the world and all that. But it's really also at its heart a soap opera, which is the thing that is delightful. You know, there's love triangles and a pregnancy and like a dramatic will and testament reading and all that. And then because they're the X-Men, there's also time travel and, you know, like evil psychic villains and an evil doppelganger and all. Just, it's so juicy, it's so fun, it's kind of silly but also kind of serious, and it's all wrapped up in a little half-hour package, so what's not to like?
Sounds like fun. We're talking about the animated series X-Men 97. It's on Disney Plus and family-friendly with a TVPG rating. The Jared Carmichael reality show is streaming on Max and airing on HBO Network. It's a reality series featuring the actor-comedian. Kristen, what do you think of the Jared Carmichael reality show?
Well, I really didn't know what to expect from it, you know, especially because the title, we've sort of been conditioned to view the term reality show with skepticism, you know, often code for contrived and curated drama. But it turns out that this title is really ironic when it comes to the show, because this is a very audacious peek into the life of Jared Carmichael, this 36-year-old comedian who won an Emmy for his special Rothaniel in 2022, where he came out as gay. And this docuseries offers a very frank and at times quite unflattering portrait of him as he strives to, quote, live more truthfully as a friend, a partner, a son, and an out gay man. And it's really fascinating because he says the cameras hold him accountable. Meanwhile, we see him do things like, you know, completely let down his best friend on his wedding day, cheat on his boyfriend, you know, things that are really real and yet, you know, not at all contrived and flattering for him. But it also has some really emotional and wrenching themes about his parents who rejected their reaction when he came out as gay was very negative. And he goes through a long period throughout the eight episodes where he's, really confronting them about it, talking to them, and it's very emotional. In addition to the show, you just can't believe, why would you let cameras, while you're doing this? But then there are these other moments that are just, you really feel for him. So it's a really fascinating use of reality TV.
And I was wondering, would this be like a curb your enthusiasm sort of thing where, where it's unflattering, but it's all designed for comedic effect? It sounds like here, this is really attempting to show his life.
Yeah, no, there's no, he's not playing a version of himself. He is himself on this, and his parents, his boyfriend, we see them in couples therapy together. There is no area of his life, including where he's really, his behavior is quite, embarrassing in terms of like he should be ashamed, and he is ashamed, and he really more than once sort of reiterates how he feels like the cameras are going to help him be accountable and change.
We're talking about the Jared Carmichael reality show. It's streaming on Max, premiering tomorrow with the first episode on HBO Network as well. There'll be a total of 8 episodes. We Were the Lucky Ones is streaming on Hulu. It's set in the immediate aftermath of World War II with a Jewish family reuniting. The first 3 episodes of the series are premiering today. There'll be a total of 8 of We Were the Lucky Ones. Angie.
This one actually spans World War II. It follows this Polish Jewish family known as the Kurtzes, who are based on the real family of Georgia Hunter, who wrote the book that the series is based on, and it kind of tracks their it tracks their journeys from 1938 to 1945. And as you can imagine, things get really harrowing and dark and dramatic and sad. Like before the story even kicks in, we get a caption informing us that like 90% of Poland's Jews were annihilated during World War II. So in that time, these characters, who consist of 2 aging parents and 5 adult children, are spread kind of all over the world, like, trying to flee, going off to war, getting imprisoned, trying to find each other, which is a lot of ground to cover in eight episodes, which means the story moves pretty fast and, kind of is forced to prioritize efficiency over nuance, which sometimes comes at the expense of the characters, who I thought were drawn a little bit broadly. But I do appreciate that it tries to make room when it can for these really small, for these smaller, really humanizing moments with these characters, and that through them you get to see how something like this feels lived through, because I think from our perspective, it's something that's already in the past, but when you're connecting with these characters, it feels like, oh, okay, like I see how every time you think it's gonna get every time they think they've hit rock bottom, it just continues to get worse. And yet at the time it has this core of, this really strong, warm, familial bond. So it there's always something to there's always something a kind of ray of hope bringing you through even as it gets really dark. So I didn't think it was perfect, but I thought it was really fascinating and ultimately really moving.
We Were the Lucky Ones, streaming on Hulu starting today. Kristen.
Yeah, I would say that, I went in, bracing myself. Like it's never easy to press play on anything about the Holocaust. But I agree with Angie in that, there it definitely rewards you with some ugly cry uplift. And I did really enjoy the cast, Joey King, who was Emmy nominated for The Act. I think we'll get another Emmy nomination for her role as Helena Kirk, she's one of the daughters and just a very fierce advocate who goes through a lot of hell, like most of her family. But I just thought she was great. And Logan Lerman, the heartthrob with the adorable boyish face is also very sweet and suave as her brother Addie.
We're talking about We Were the Lucky Ones, first 3 episodes premiering today on Hulu. There'll be a total of 8 episodes. It's rated TVMA. When we come back, we'll hear about the BET Plus series, Diara from Detroit, starring Diara Kilpatrick. And we'll also hear about Homicide New York, a 5-part documentary series on Netflix. You're listening to Air Talk on LA's 89.3. It's TV Talk Thursday. We'll be back with critics Angie Hahn and Kristen Baldwin in just a minute. This is TV Talk from LAist 89.3. We'll be right back after this.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Hi, this is Larry Mantle, and you're listening to Air Talk's TV Talk, a weekly review of the newest cable TV, broadcast television, and streaming series. Let's get back to reviews. We're joined by television critics Kristen Baldwin of Entertainment Weekly and Angie Hahn of The Hollywood Reporter. We continue with television series looking at Diara from Detroit. It's streaming on BET+. It's an 8-episode series starring Diara Kilpatrick. Angie.
Oh, this one is really fun. And what I liked about it is that it's a totally unhinged premise that starts in a weirdly relatable place. So at the center is Diara, played by Diara Kilpatrick, who's having a really hard time. She's going through a divorce and feels really lonely and heartbroken and humiliated. So when she finally has a really good Tinder date, it feels like things are finally turning up for her. But then when the guy stands her up for their second date, she becomes absolutely convinced that something horrible has happened to him and she needs to investigate, even as all of her friends are like, no, he probably just ghosted you. Of course, in her case, she's right, because otherwise it wouldn't really be much of a show. And her investigation brings her into contact with these dangerous mobsters and becomes connected to this missing child case from decades ago. And it just kind of gets more and more out of control from there. So it's part midlife crisis divorce comedy, part crime drama mystery. Kilpatrick does a lot of voiceover on the show where you're in this character's head and like in her thoughts, and it's sort of, you know, half overheated spooky noir stuff and half kind of stand-up-ish observational humor. It's distinctive. It feels very much like the product of her own unique voice, and it leans more funny than dark, but I do think it takes really earnestly, you know, how Diara feels about what she's going through and how hard it is to scrape yourself back together after something like a divorce and, you know, trying to get back in touch with yourself and find a new direction forward. So I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this one. I like that it's this shopping tone. I like that it's, kind of playful, but also clear at the same time. I think it's a really intriguing premise and has a really fresh comic voice. And I just recommend it to anyone who wants to have fun.
All right, Diara from Detroit on BET+. Half of the 8 episodes are out already. Homicide New York is from Dick Wolf, of course, who created so much scripted television over decades for NBC. This is a Netflix streaming 5-part documentary series looking at a number of homicide cases in New York. All 5 episodes are streaming and a great success for Netflix. They've attracted large numbers of streamings. Kristen, what did you think of Homicide New York?
I really liked it. I mean, I certainly, I'm not a Law and Order person. I can appreciate what Law and Order is, but, you know, I'm also, you know, I lived in New York for a long time. So I just thought I'm going to try this. And what I like about it is, you know, first of all, everything about it is very New York, from how the detectives talk to the crime scenes, because this, you know, the crimes take place in places like the Carnegie Deli, Central Park, the Financial District, all these sort of landmark places. And the show follows a sort of loose Law and Order template where you first part, you know, they chronicle the crime and the investigation, and then the second part follows the prosecution of the accused. But what I like the most about it is that, you know, Dick Wolf has a real eye for intriguing characters. And in part, I think he chose these cases because the men and women who solved and prosecuted them are really great storytellers. They're interesting people, and he presents them in a way where you see them as human beings, you know, people who have insecurities and idiosyncrasies and regrets. They're not just sort of the talking heads that you're used to seeing on some true crime. And I will say, you know, historical spoiler alert, all of these cases end with the killers behind bars, which, you know, I never, I prefer in my true crime there to be some modicum of justice at the end. So I enjoyed that as well.
Come away satisfied from Homicide New York, 5-part docuseries from Dick Wolf. It's streaming on Netflix. Manhunt is on Apple TV Plus. It's a dramatic thriller starring Will Harrison and Tobias Menzies and takes us back to the aftermath of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Angie.
Yeah, so on the surface, this is a conspiracy thriller about the chase for John Wilkes Booth right after Abraham Lincoln's assassination. It's not a mystery in that, like, you know, everyone even then knows who did it, but it's more of a cat and mouse thing where Tobias Menzies plays the Secretary of War who's kind of leading the charge to find John Wilkes Booth, who is played by Anthony Boyle from Masters of the Air in a very different role. And in that sense, it's really, you know, it's really thrilling. Like I enjoyed kind of the detective-y aspects of it, where they're always trying to outmaneuver each other and like follow clues and all that. And it eventually leads to this much grander conspiracy that goes just beyond this one assassin. But beyond that, it also becomes a really interesting drama about the Reconstruction era and just sort of what was lost when Abraham Lincoln died. It becomes a series that's really, you know, curious about the compromises that were made in that time. You know, I think it really takes you back into this headspace where you can kind of see like, oh, okay, this was a nation that was just really like in flux, where no one knew what was going to happen. You could see how things could have gone, you know, so much better. You could see how things could have gone so much worse. You see how this nation was in this place where it had all this promise and this potential, and they're trying to figure out where it's going to go. And you also just, and the show is not subtle about also underlining how some of the decisions that were made then kind of to this day our society set up today. So I thought it was a lot of fun, but it was really, really, really thoughtful, often really heartbreaking, not just because the characters are sad, but because you kind of mourn for what could have been a lot of the time. And the actors are just all really good. Like Tobias Menzies, I think he seems like he was really made for this role. The one thing I will say though, Abraham Lincoln is played by Hamish Linklater with a lot of prosthetics. And I am so over the thing where you pile a lot of prosthetics on an actor to make them look like someone. It always just makes them look weird. But that's kind of my one note. Otherwise, I think it's a really exciting but also really thoughtful series.
Manhunt, 4 of the 7 episodes are out so far. Episode 5 releases tomorrow. There'll be a 7 episode run of Manhunt on Apple TV Plus. Want to thank our television critics for joining us, Angie Hahn of The Hollywood Reporter and Kristen Baldwin of Entertainment Weekly. Every Thursday, it's Entertainment Thursday on Air Talk, including our TV talk with our TV critics weighing in on the top series, new and returning. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Air Talk's TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.